What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Mark's Remarks. Your host, as always, right here, Mark Radigan. Pleased to be bringing you a new team, new university, something new to the show here. Stepping away from the University of Rhode Island for a little bit, not going too far. We're going across the bridge over to Newport, taking a look at Salve Regina. And for my friends on the men's soccer team, had a lot of recommendations to get this guy on the podcast, telling me that he was the real deal, and this season truly proved that. I'm joined on the podcast today by Salve Regina men's soccer striker and North Kingstown native Daniel Goba. Dan, how we doing?
Doing great, Mark. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
I'm doing good, man. I mean, like we were just talking about a second ago, I've been looking forward to this for a minute because a bunch of my boys, like, I mean, last year on the pod, Connor Froberg was telling me a lot. He's like, dude, you got to get Dan on the show. And I was like, you know, all right, let's look into it. Safe to say that this season has boosted your resume a lot to the point where I'm like, you know what? I kind of got to get this guy on the show before he hits the big time. So we're going to be talking about all of that over the next few minutes. But I mean, to kind of turn back the clock a little bit, I want to learn about what led you to this point. Because, I mean, this season, new MAC Athlete of the Year after an unbelievable goal-scoring campaign for Salve Regina. But where did this all sort of start for you? Where did you fall in love with the game of soccer, and just how did you get to this point?
I think I fell in love with soccer right away, right when I started. I mean, I've been playing with Chase, who also plays at Salve. We've been playing on the same team since, like, I want to say third grade. And I've loved it right from the start. I always knew it's what I wanted to do. I pretty much always knew I wanted to play college. And then as I progressed, as I started playing for different clubs, I played for GPS, played for Bayside. I knew I wanted to play at the college level because I was not ready to say goodbye to the game.
And so playing with Chase Zorner, another North Kingstown native, kind of going through the ranks, playing club, and having someone to kind of grow with you in the game. I imagine that having someone come with you all the way to Salve and really grow as players together definitely must have helped a lot as you were trying to find yourself in the sport.
Yeah, no, me and Chase, we go really far back. We have a special relationship and a really special opportunity to have shared so many years playing the game together. We've also always pushed each other. I mean, I'm a striker, he's a defender, so I'm always going at him. We're always talking to each other. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah. And so just at what point did you sort of realize that you wanted to take soccer super seriously? I mean, as you're going through the youth level, you're probably starting to realize, like, okay, like, I can do this. Like, I'm starting to play pretty well. I'm starting to beat a lot of kids my age. So I want to start taking this seriously. Was it at a point in high school or was it before then? At what point did you decide, you know what, like, I really want to ride this wave?
I mean, I always loved it, as I said, but I think freshman year of high school is when I really, really kicked it into gear. I was playing with a lot of talent. We had a really good team my freshman year. I think we were 14-0 to start the season, and I wasn't even really playing. I was getting probably 10 to 15 minutes a game max, and I'm alongside Connor, who's getting really good minutes, playing really well, and my other friend Owen Ennis from North Kingstown, who he now plays at West Point, both really talented players. So being alongside them and not being quite at their level freshman year, that's why I knew I really wanted to kick it into gear to get to the next level.
And so being a part of such an impressive program, because there's so many players that have come out of North Kingstown High School that have gone on to play college sports, whether it's soccer or basketball or so on. But like you said, just being a part of that program, you're not really seeing the fields that often. And just being on that team, working with so many guys that you're striving to be as good as or striving to be better than and so on. How did that help you develop your own game?
I mean, in one sense, I think they taught me a lot about the game, those older guys within the team. Connor's cousin Jake was a captain my freshman year, and I always looked up to him. They also just pushed me to be a better player because I wasn't quite at their level. And that's a really humbling experience. Because, I mean, when you play youth soccer, you're playing with kids your age, around your technical ability, probably maybe a little bit worse. And then you play high school, and it's so much faster.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, just it seems that Rhode Island athletics, for such a small state, really has a unbelievable amount of talented high school athletes packed into such a small environment. So it seems like it's a very competitive atmosphere, particularly for soccer. And so just after you get through your freshman year and you start to age up through the ranks while you're at NK, just at what point did you feel, let's say, you broke through that sort of metaphorical glass ceiling where it's like, okay, now you've asserted yourself in this team, you've become a starter, and you've now starting to see a lot of that development really start to pay off. And at that point, when did those college conversations start happening?
Yeah. I was end of my sophomore year, I started looking at, like, doing a little bit of research on colleges, like kind of just trying to see where I could see myself at, even though it's 2 years in the future. But I kind of came into my own a little bit sophomore year. I started playing a lot more. I started, I think, most, if not all games, but I was playing the six. So I was playing a defensive midfield. My junior year, we were struggling to score a little bit in the beginning, and that's when I made the move to striker, which is a position I've played previously. I played a lot when I was younger, but then I kind of moved towards six in high school. So my junior year, I switched to striker, and that's when I really think I turned a corner, came into my own. I think I had 16 goals my junior year. And I wasn't used to scoring goals in that quantity. So to be able to do that was amazing. It was a whole lot of fun.
So what sparked that change initially to go from being a striker at youth level to then playing as a six in high school? Was it just your size, physicality? Was it like a scheme fit? What was that conversation with your coach like when you tried out and you were saying, they were like, oh, what position can you play? Was that something that you recommended or was that something that your coach wanted you to do?
I don't really quite remember. I mean, I'd played in the midfield when I was younger too. I kind of always just found myself in the middle, whether that was 6, 8, 10, or at the nine. And that's kind of just where they needed me my sophomore year of high school. And then when I made that switch, I think that's when I knew my 6 days were over.
And so then once you make that switch, you score 16 goals your first season playing as a striker in competitive soccer. I mean, what does that do for you mentally at that point where you're like, whoa, like this game kind of comes easy to me now. Like I can go from playing as a deep lying playmaker, a defensive mid that's not really involved in the attack. And now you're going up against seasoned strikers that have probably played more consistently than you have, or defenders that have played more consistently at that pace than you have. And you're just like, all right, I'm bossing it now here too. Like how did that impact you mentally in terms of just your confidence and overall like how you perceived yourself as a soccer player?
Yeah. The mental side of the game has always been a struggle for me. I've always held myself to a really high standard, put a lot of pressure on myself. So to be able to just have like statistics to back it up, to be able to say, oh, I have X amount of goals, that was really good for my confidence. And to be able to leave my junior season with that many goals, it did a lot for me. And it realized, helped me realize that I can play at the next level. And I think I can do so at a high level.
And so then, yeah, building off of that, at that point, like you're realizing that you can play at that high level. And so then coming out of your junior season, scoring a bag load of goals. And so then at that point, colleges start looking at you. You start to have those conversations with your family in regards to, okay, where do I want to start looking? At what level do I want to play? How serious do I want to take this? And so that's always the difficult question, because when you look at Division III, the way that that's structured, it's almost as if you're going to a Division III school because you just truly love the game. And that's where you want to play, because there just aren't as many scholarship opportunities available. And just the way that the entire division and league is structured, it's just so different from Division I. And so how did that decision, or how did that whole process transpire? Did you have Division I offers that you were considering?
Yeah, so I was looking at a variety of schools across mostly the D1 and the D3 level. There wasn't many schools at the D2 level I was that interested in. I was looking at, I actually hoped to play at URI, but that fell through for whatever reason. So I was looking at a lot of top Division III schools, it's called the NESCAC. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the conference, the New England Small Schools Athletic Conference or something like that. Like Conn College, which they're in the Sweet 16, so they're a really good team. I was looking at Middlebury for a little while, and those ended up falling through. I also did have an offer from Bryant University, but in terms of my career path, I really just don't think that made a lot of sense. And that's something I'm glad I considered, because I think like making a rash decision based off of just soccer would have been probably a little harmful to my future.
So you were looking at this from more of like, want to see what the education and everything else, like the entire college experience these schools have to offer outside of just providing me a great space to be able to show my talents as a soccer player.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. I think that's what a lot of people don't realize is that at the end of the day, if you don't like the school, you probably will not enjoy your college soccer experience. And yeah. That's been big for me because at Salve, I really love it. I love the school. I love the people. And most importantly, I love the team.
And so what ultimately sold you on Salve? Because I know that a lot of people, you're either really, you want to go far away and you want to spread your wings and use this opportunity to travel to other places and experience different things, or they want to stay close to home. From what I've gathered, that it seems to be a very Rhode Island centric thing, that if you're born and raised here, a lot of people like to stay in and around Rhode Island. That just seems to be what I've gathered from a lot of people. So, I mean, at that point, when you're looking at Salve Regina, it's only 25 minutes away. What was that pitch like that the coaches were giving you in terms of just what the university had to offer? And then what ultimately sold you on wanting to go there?
I think it was a combination of a lot of things. I mean, obviously Newport is beautiful. It's historic and it's just really a great place to be no matter how old you are. And I did my overnight. I love this story. I did my overnight on, I believe, February 16th. And Ben Tomas, great player, he was my host. And I committed in the morning on the 17th. So
that's awesome.
I had a really good time with the team on my overnight. It's like, I can't even begin to express. It's such a great group of people. So much support for me. And right when I met them and spent a lot of time talking to Coach O'Rourke, I knew this is where I wanted to be.
And so you committed February of your senior year at NK?
Yeah, which is pretty late. A lot of players, I would have liked to have been committed early because there was always a lot of stress to be committed early when I'm seeing all my friends commit to these Division I schools, even high quality Division III schools in September, even earlier. But I just was not ready to make the decision, and I'm so glad that I waited.
That was kind of my next question was, how did that impact you mentally as you were going through that decision? And obviously watching a lot of your teammates making that decision, being like, oh, like, okay, we're committing to go play here. And now you're sitting there, it's like, all right, now I should be, I'm good enough. Yeah. In regards to these guys, like I should be in at that point as well. But even so, once the season passes, because I was thinking like, oh, how is this impacting you mentally in terms of your performance on the field? But now you're already well beyond your high school soccer career is finished at this point. And so at that point in February, you got the last semester of your high school experience right there, knowing that you've now committed to go play soccer in college. Just what were those final few months like at NK?
I mean, I was really excited with my decision to go to Salve. Like I said, it's a great group, but it definitely was hard. I mean, three kids from my class at North Kingstown committed to go Division I. And I mean, I felt like I could have seen myself doing that, but I really just used it as a chip on my shoulder to work harder because I knew at the Division III level I could find success. And now it's just all about keeping that going and bringing home a conference championship to Newport.
And well, it's clear that when you go into Newport and you go into Salve Regina with that chip on your shoulder that you went in with a point to prove. Your first year, 18 games played, more not as consistent minutes as you got this season, but I mean, still chipped in with 5 goals and 4 assists in your first campaign. I mean, at that point, when you first got to Salve and you're going through the summer workouts and you're seeing how these guys are playing and you're involved in practices with them, what was that level of comfortability? Did you feel that you were at a level where it's like, all right, I'm competing with these guys. I'm feeling good. Just how did you feel during those initial couple months?
On the field, I felt like I could definitely compete with the guys. I also felt like I could be doing more, and that's what it came down to for me to know I had to keep working harder. Cause I was playing a decent brand of soccer, but I was not at the level I wanted to be at. I mean, I felt very comfortable within the team because of the team culture that has been created over the years, but on the field, I felt like I had a lot of adjusting to do.
And so then what pushed you on to make those adjustments? Was it conversations with your coaches? Was it players that were upperclassmen that you looked up to that helped try to push you along and show you just how this entire system worked? Like, what were some of the external factors that helped you continue on your developmental track?
Yeah, I had a lot of conversations with Coach Craig O'Rourke about my performance on the field, what I can do to improve. And I think the biggest thing came down to it was everyone always believed in me. They knew I could be doing more just as I did. And having Coach O'Rourke push me like that, as well as the captains, Nathan Constantino, he graduated, but he's a great player and even better leader. Jordan Borges, who we're losing next year, unfortunately. Unreal player and such a good leader, always pushed me to a higher level while also reassuring me that I can do it.
And so that sort of reassurance and having that support system around you, I imagine, was exceptionally beneficial for your overall mental health. Because you, when you talk to athletes that are making the jump from high school to college, it can be a very difficult experience for a number of people because it's obviously it's a much higher level and there's a lot more being asked of these players. And I mean, just from your own personal standpoint, as you got on during your freshman year, what was it like for you mentally, both on the field and off of it, just trying to juggle your first taste of being a college soccer player while also being a college student?
I was lucky my freshman year because a lot of the prerequisites I was taking, my course load wasn't too hard. So balancing soccer in school wasn't that challenging. It was more just balancing the mental side of soccer with school because it's easy to get stressed out and bothered by the things going on in the field. So I think it's really important to try to sound that out when you're off the field doing other things that matter, like schoolwork.
And so then and beyond that too, once the season ultimately finishes and you look back on your freshman season and it's you play very well, and at that point it's like, all right, you know what? Like you have expectations going into the year, knowing the standard that you set yourself, and to know that you got through your first season, not consistently starting, but still contributing at such a high potency, I have to imagine that that definitely helped your confidence a lot as well.
Yeah, it definitely did. I wasn't as much concerned with statistics, minutes, or anything like that. I was more just frustrated with the season because we were 0-6-2 in conference play, which was obviously not good. We were the whole program was really down on that. We were really upset about it. So I was too, because even though I had 5 goals, 4 assists, I wasn't able to contribute in conference as much as I would have liked to. And that's what, at the end of the day, that's what really matters.
And when you look back on that record, it seems like it was just a night and day switch from last season to this season. I mean, you're looking at the South Virginia men's soccer website right now, flipping through both schedules. I mean, it just seems like that a switch flipped, and you guys were able to just completely turn it around. Obviously, before we get into just how this season progresses, I mean, were there any differences that you noticed in the off season leading up to this campaign that you think may have contributed to ultimately the success that you guys were able to have down toward the end of the season and such an improved record?
Yeah, I think we all worked really hard to prepare for this season, but I think most of it was a mentality thing. I think we didn't perform in our first few conference games last year, and that went to our head. Just as if you win, it can go to your head. We lost, and it went to our head. We had, in my opinion, a losing mentality. So coming into this year, we had great, not that we didn't last year, but we had great leadership this year, and we really got ready for conference play. And we were able to bring it to MIT and hand them a 3-0 loss. And that's when we knew we really had something special brewing in Newport. So we knew we had to run with that, keep winning.
And so what about for you personally? Going into the season, you mentioned just how you felt that you wanted to do more and that you were still striving to hit that standard that you always set for yourself. In the off season and in the build up to the 2024 season, what were some of the goals or what was the message that you were trying to give yourself to make sure that you were locked in and to make sure that you were able to play at the highest level that you possibly could?
It was kind of just continually telling myself that at this point, nothing I did in high school matters. Nobody cares. You have to keep pushing yourself to a higher standard. And I mean, obviously, after that freshman year with all that losing, I just knew I had to turn it around, or I had to do what I could to help turn it around. So I mean, I was working hard during the summer. I knew I had to practice my finishing. Obviously, the striker position, that's pretty important. So that was one of the main things I worked on over the summer, as well as just staying fit, staying running.
And so heading into this season, you guys started in a bit of a lull. You open the season with a loss, and then you win two games on the bounce, and then you lose four straight. And you talked about just how the losing can impact players mentally and how that impacted you guys last season, where it's like once you start finding a skid, it just all starts to kind of fall apart. What was different this season when you guys were trying to bounce back after that? Because evidently you did, but it just, what was the mentality shift? Were there any players in the locker room that stepped up to try and guide the guys forward? Were there messages the coaches that were offering you that was trying to help you guys stay focused on the task at hand?
Yeah, so we had a coaching change this year. So new head coach Bill Lawler, he did a great job making sure we were all focused, especially before game days. Ethan David, he was a junior last year. This year was a senior captain. Great leader, really got us going before games and practices. And I think it was really just a mentality thing. I mean, leading up to MIT, I can still remember that practice because I remember thinking, I'm getting tackled harder than I normally do. He's training harder than he normally does. There was something different, like a completely different feeling where I knew we had a different type of energy and that we could really bring it to MIT.
Well, it clearly showed that you guys had a bit of a turnaround halfway through the season, because over the final nine games during the regular season, you guys only had one loss. Number of ties in there, but
I didn't even know that stat.
Yeah, no, I'm going through your schedule right now. And over the final stretch of the second half of the season, wins over Framingham State, wins over Framingham State, wins over Clark University, a draw versus Coast Guard Academy, wins over Emerson, a win over Springfield College. And it clearly showed that you guys had a switch had flipped, and now you're playing with more confidence. And clearly part of that as well is just the sheer number of goals that Daniel Gobo was scoring. And so at that point too, we got to talk about that. Just what changed for you between last season to now to see your goal production jump up? Because you had 9 goals and assists last season in 18 games. You started 12. This season, you're now the bona fide starter. You start 20 of 21 games, and you have 19 goal involvements. What changed?
Goal scoring really is a mentality. And once you get in that flow, that rhythm, I mean, I was going into every game convincing myself, at least, that I was certain that I was going to score. Going into every game, it was a lot of self-talk that gets me ready for games, and I was just getting really focused, and I knew my job. My job for this team is to score goals, just like Chase's is to defend, just like our goalie Adonis's is to keep it out of the net. And I'd like to think I just did my job this year better than I did last year.
And, I mean, it clearly proved, because NUMAC Athlete of the Year. After the season concludes, you guys finish with a 2-0 loss to Babson in the conference tournament. A difficult loss, I can imagine. Because knowing that the turnaround that you guys had was just driving further and further and further, and you were within touching distance of getting that silverware, which would have just been the cherry on top of this magical season, but unable to get over the line. I can imagine that that was a difficult result, but just a few days later, getting that unbelievable accolade and getting recognized for the amount of work that you had put in this season, did that at all cushion the blow of the Babson loss to you?
I don't know how many people are going to believe this, but I'd probably say no. I mean, that the Babson loss was a really tough pill to swallow. I wanted to win that game for the seniors, for the rest of for everyone else more than anything. And Babson's a seriously talented team. Lots of really good players, but I was still somehow convinced we were going to win it, and I think I'd take us any other day as well. But it was very, very hard loss on all of us, I would like to think. And individual accolades are great. It was really exciting, but it doesn't make the team loss any easier.
And how do you take a result like that and put it forward and use that as motivation to continue to improve? Because obviously looking at your stats right now, it's difficult to picture how much further your game could go unless you just start scoring 25, 30 goals in a season and you start breaking Division III scoring records. But having a result like this where you're so confident in your team's ability to get a result on another given day, knowing that you were in that fight, how do you take that result and put it and use it as motivation to continue to improve next season?
I think all the guys just got to remember that it's wildly impressive that we turned it around from 0-6-1 to a conference championship. But proving we can get there is not nearly as cool as proving that we can win it. So I think everyone has to take, like, remember how they felt when we lost against Babson. I can still picture them holding up the trophy and use that to drive themselves to strive for more, because I think that's what we're really focused on now, striving for more.
And so as I'm looking at just your overall college trajectory, and it seems fairly similar to what you had experienced at NK. You had that first initial year where you're starting to get involved and you start to contribute a little bit, and then boom, you have another year where you just absolutely explode. And so then as you continue, you just continue to improve, and then boom, you're able to make it to the next level. And for here, a similar sort of situation. Your freshman year, you're involved, you're scoring a few goals, but you're not that bona fide number one yet. Now, you're the first man on the roster getting into the starting 11 because you just keep scoring goals. And so, for you personally, when you look at these couple of seasons, how do you then look back at that, and how do you then set, I guess, your own personal aspirations for the following season as you go from 5 goals to now 14? I mean, do you sit thinking, all right, you know what, personally, I want to strive for 20 goals now, or are you still more oriented on, I don't really care how many goals I score, I want to make sure that we win games?
I mean, if I scored less than 14 and we won a conference championship, I have no problem with that. But right now, individually, I think for my team, I think one of my goals is to score more. I mean, 14 was great. I do think I can achieve more than that. I'd like to show everyone that I can.
And so then at that point, what work or what factors do you think will help you for that? Because as this has gone on, you clearly are the type of guy that really puts in a great deal of work to continue to improve both mentally and physically. Are there any sort of things that you plan on working on that you think will be able to get you to, say, that 20 goal threshold? Or do you feel that now, based off of the turnaround that this squad has had in this past season, do you feel that this kind of ups the brand of Salve Soccer? And now that looking into the next season, there could be the chance of getting even more creative talent around you that could push this program even higher to the point where it's more, I wouldn't say a given, but now you're going to be much more in the conversation for, okay, this is a team that will certainly contend for a conference tournament championship.
Yeah, I think as you play college soccer, you learn more about it every time you get in the game, every time you practice. So I think in order to score more goals, I'm just going to have to keep watching film and keep playing. That's a big thing for me. I think if we can surround me with more creative talent, even more talent that can score more goals than me, I have no problem with it. I'm more focused on where the team can go, because I'd really like to, I don't even want to say turn it around, because Salve's a historically really, really good D3 soccer team. But I really think we can do more. And with the talent we have now and the talent that Coach Lawler intends to bring in, I think we could do a lot.
Humble and hungry. Those are the two adjectives I would use to describe you right now. I love it. This is
Thank you, Mark.
This is what you expect from college athletes at the highest level of Division I, but even at Division III, to see someone that cares so much. Because that's usually, I feel, the stereotype of Division III athletics, where it's like, it's not taken as seriously, or that because you're not at that highest level where you're constantly playing games on TV and everything, that it doesn't matter as much. But there's clearly so much to it when you are involved. I mean, just from the outside looking in, I'm not as in tune with Salve Athletics as one might want, as a typical Rhode Islander may be. How big of a deal are the athletic programs at Salve to the overall campus culture?
I'd say they're pretty big, especially among student athletes, and like a good amount of the school are varsity student athletes. So there's always so much support. I mean, kids at Salve from different teams, sometimes I don't even know who they are, and I'm not sure they really know who I am. They just saying congratulations on player of the year, and it means so much. I mean, Salve has a great culture, and there's so much passion behind their sports programs, especially the men's soccer team. So yeah, I mean, there's so much support from the fellow student athletes. I don't know. I mean, the community is a different thing, and some people come out to the games, but it mostly comes from within.
That's awesome. And so, shifting gears a little bit, I'm curious as to, you obviously talk about you want to strive for more and you want to continue to improve on a personal level and you want to continue to improve on a team level. But is there a point where, I mean, whether you've hit it now or you feel like that you'll maybe hit it next year, where you want to challenge yourself more and maybe try to test the waters of jumping up to Division One? Because, I mean, we've seen that story before. I mean, you're a URI fan growing up, I imagine. You probably know, I would imagine you know the story of Patrick Agyeman. Division Three, Eastern Connecticut, making the jump up to Division One, playing at URI. Now he's a starting striker for Charlotte FC in the MLS. And so your story, your skill set, and the amount of goals you scored reminds me a lot of him. And it's a very similar sort of storyline that I'm seeing here. So I'm curious, is that something that you've thought of possibly wanting to make the jump up to Division One?
I wouldn't say, especially recently, I don't think I've really thought about it. I don't really like the idea of entering the portal. I have a lot of loyalty to Salve Men's Soccer. I mean, they provided me with so much love and support, and I really think I've become a much better player while I'm here. I really don't think I could leave. The team makes it so hard to leave. I mean, right now all I'm focused on one of my goals is to captain this team because I have so much pride in the team, and I really don't plan on leaving. So sorry to shut down the trade rumors.
But I mean, that's still admirable to hear someone talk about like that, because given the way that college athletics have evolved over time, you don't see that very often anymore, because it's now it's much more transactional based. It's very business oriented. So you're almost encouraged to be selfish and make those sort of selfish decisions. But and it also seems that you're more focused on your overall future and your overall just being well-rounded as a student and an athlete at the same time. And it seems that Salve is giving that to you. It has the idea of playing soccer beyond the collegiate level, have you entertained that idea, or are you more focused on finishing your time at Salve and then just seeing what life throws at you, whether it's in sports or not?
I always like to try to stay present. I think it's really important. I would have to face that opportunity if it ever came. I can't say I really expect it. I'm playing for the love of the game and the love of this team. And I'm going to do everything I can to work hard for myself, because I think I owe it to myself and for my teammates. But the idea of playing professional, it would have to come at me for me to really make a decision about it. But I can't say I really expect it.
Well, I mean, obviously with the way that things have gone over the past couple years as this game has evolved, I mean, I feel like these opportunities fall out of the sky. So you never know.
But no,
I mean, obviously,
fell out of the sky, then we can have another podcast and talk about my future in professional sports.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have to be doing a little bit of like a commitment video talking about, all right, what MLS club is Dan Goba gonna sign for now?
I don't know.
But just moving back toward just like a team centric thing for a sec. Looking more toward next season. I know you like to stay present, but as a journalist and as a soccer fan in general, I'm always fascinated just hearing what you guys have to say about this. Based off of the last two seasons now, you've now gotten a taste of what it feels like to have a non-successful season and now a marginally successful season, because you came so close to winning the conference championship.
No, absolutely.
Looking ahead to 2025 and the amount of seniors that have graduated, what the roster turnover that's going to come both in the winter and the spring, and based off of just what you expect from yourself on a personal basis, what are you kind of expecting from this program next season?
We still have a lot of really talented players, which is something I think is important to note. I mean, Ben Tomas, he was a two-time All-Region selection his freshman and sophomore year, and we were missing him this whole year. So we have Ben coming back along with a really talented senior class and incoming senior class. So Ben's class, and then my class will be juniors, and we have a lot of talent as well. I mean, we have a lot of talent returning, a lot of good leadership returning. We're definitely going to be missing the seniors and the grad students on and off the field. But now that I know all they want us to do is to keep pushing for more. They would like nothing more than to see us bring a conference championship back.
And obviously you aren't the type of guy that would really take advantage of the transfer portal, but that is something that a lot of coaches and programs at all collegiate levels try to take advantage of. Have you seen any of the benefits that the transfer portal brings to the Salve men's soccer team? Have you had transfers come in that have made big impacts for you guys this year? And do you think that that will be something that your coaches are going to be looking toward in order to try and get over that final hurdle next year?
We have one transfer within the team, Gabriel Bazikas. He just graduated. He was a goalie, but that's really it. I think after the season we just had, kind of establishing ourselves as a high level Division III team, I do think that players would and should reach out to Salve Regina if they're interested in playing Division III soccer at a high level.
And you've talked a lot about the chemistry that this team has, like how tight-knit the locker room is. Mm-hmm. What's that locker room dynamic like? Is it, because with you or I, for example, there's a number of international students. The locker room is almost split 50-50 between American students and students from Spain, Scandinavia, Brazil. Yeah. Do you see that sort of thing at the Division III level, or is it more just a lot of American kids coming from local towns or local regions, so to speak, that are trying to play soccer?
We have two internationals, one from Brazil and one from Cameroon. But yeah, we don't have a lot of internationals, so I'm not sure how that would really affect our locker room if we had more internationals. But our locker room is extremely close-knit. It's like our team culture is, in my opinion, really special, and I don't think I could find that anywhere else.
What do you think is the driving force behind that? It obviously playing well on the pitch can really impact that, and it may, when you guys have great team chemistry and you're linking up passes and so on, it makes you guys enjoy being around each other more. But outside of soccer, what do you think is some of the driving forces behind why this team has such great chemistry?
I think that's just been passed down over the years. I mean, our assistant coach, Evan McDonald, he graduated in, I believe, 2020. He was an All-American, incredible player. And a lot of the traditions that they had back then still exist to this day. I mean, we have songs within the team and little things like that that seem kind of pointless, but they really do matter.
And it's that sort of tradition that is what really makes these programs successful. And from the different athletes and coaches that I've spoken to, that's always one of the biggest goals, is instilling like a positive culture, one that it impacts and really helps grow and solidify a program's identity, where you can be recognized for your style of play, or you truly take pride in playing for your university. And that's, I got to imagine that is one of the biggest reasons why this team had such a successful turnaround this season. I mean, the talent, obviously, when you bring in a new coach or bring in a new system, that helps a lot, but that won't work if you don't have good culture, you don't have a good identity as a team, you don't have good chemistry. And so, I mean, do you feel, or rather, what do you think was more important this season? The tactical scheme and just everyone buying into the new style that the new coach and his staff brought in? Or do you feel that chemistry that had already exist from the team that sold you on Salve when you committed when you were back at NK, that being able to fight through adversity, that was able to push you forward?
I think it was a combination of the tactics. Coach Lawler has really strong defensive tactics, which helped us a lot this year. And then also, of course, the culture. I mean, there was really positive energy this year, and there was so much love within the team. And I think some players that only had, for example, 1 or 2 years under their belt had a whole extra one, which was massive for us. I mean, like I mentioned before, a big part of playing college soccer at a high level is understanding the game, because it's completely different from anything you've ever played. So I think a lot of the players on our team really came into their own this year.
That's awesome. And so to kind of wrap this up, your story is so interesting because you don't really see that many players, or at least players like yourself, just have so much humility and really pride at playing at the Division III level, because it's not to say by any means going to play at the Division III level can be considered less of a success when you're just going to play college athletics anyway. But I know that there's always that stigma of you want to go play Division I. That's the pinnacle of wanting to play college athletics. But as someone who had gone through the college process, college recruitment process, and made the decision to go to Salve in term, focusing more on being a well-rounded person, both an athlete and as a student, what's a message you would give to someone at NK, for example, that was that's in your position now, or in the same position now as you were when you were a sophomore and junior there? What's something that you would tell them to try and just give them sort of advice if they're struggling to kind of either come to terms with the situation that they're in at the level that they're trying to strive for, or they're struggling to make a decision on what they want to do with their future?
I would definitely say to take everything slow. That's something I was told during the recruiting process. It's easy to rush a decision when a coach throws you an offer and you see all your friends being committed, but you have to go to a school where you really can picture yourself going there for 4 years, soccer aside, and loving it. You need to be surrounded by good people, and you need to be surrounded by positive energy, and you need to get a good education. That's what it really comes down to. If you've been blessed with the opportunity to play college at the next level, anywhere where you can really picture yourself being happy, take it.
All right, folks, that's your words of wisdom from the new Mac Player of the Year. Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. This was great. I have prided myself on trying to get fans to learn more about the players that they're watching on TV all the time. That's the whole reason I do this show, is I want players, coaches, and staff members to be able to share their true personalities with fans. But it goes even further when you talk about Division III, because people just don't pay attention to it as much as I feel that they really should, because there's some great athletes like yourself in there. So I'm thrilled that we had the opportunity to bring you on and be able to talk about this stuff. You killed it this year. So congratulations on everything. I am very excited to see just kind of how the spring season goes for you. And I mean, I will obviously be moving on from URI in May, but I mean, I know you've still got two more years of Newport Salve Regina soccer ahead of you. And I'm very excited to see what you're able to do and how you can build on, hopefully go back to back New Mac Player of the Year. Maybe.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Mark. I really admire what you're doing for the Rhode Island athletics community. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Dan. I really appreciate it. So everybody listening at home, thank you very much for tuning in this week. And we will be back next week with some regularly scheduled programming. So just stay tuned. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Marks Remarks Pod. And we'll see you in the next one.